We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast presented by WinBet. It is Friday, November 12th, 2021. Alex Baruta here with Shannon McEwen. Ken is he's traveling, I believe, so he is not here. It's a two-man pod today. Shannon is dealing with an illness, and I was a little sick as well, so we're hanging in. We're going to power through this one. We're not in COVID protocols, though, which is you know who is in COVID protocols, though? Nikola Vucevic of the Chicago Bulls test positive for COVID-19. He's out at least 10 days. The Bulls barely have a backup center rotation, but we're assuming Tony Bradley is going to get the start. We'll figure out if that's the case tonight because they play. The only other center on the roster is rookie Marko Simanovic, who actually has been pretty decent in the G League, but was a second-round pick, so temper your expectations there. Bradley's averaging 8 points, 14 rebounds, and 3.5 blocks per 36 minutes this season. He will be available in almost every single league that is 25 teams or fewer. Is there anything actionable with this Vucevic thing besides adding Tony Bradley, or is that just kind of the move here, Shannon?
I'm assuming that's the move. I mean, Bradley's not an exciting player, but he's seen some minutes off the bench already. You know, he's topped 12 minutes three times. He played 10 minutes in the most recent game on November 10th. So I'm assuming that's really the only way they can go. And I apologize. There's one guy who does interest me a little bit, and I don't even know how to say his first name. Is it Elise? Elise? Oh, Elise Johnson?
I think it's Alize.
Alize, I wasn't close at all.
Holy cow.
Alize Johnson. I just like what he did with Brooklyn in short and limited minutes last season. He had a couple big games. Mostly it was in garbage time. I think he might have even made a couple spot starts when Brooklyn was depleted. That's the only one that would be interesting if we knew he was going to get 30 minutes. But he's 6'7", 212. He's not really big enough to play center. You can't slide DeMar DeRozan over to center. So I really do think it's going to be Tony Bradley. You know, possibly if he's getting 28 to 30 minutes, there could be some good rebounding numbers, some good block numbers, but I wouldn't expect much else beyond that. But he will be worth a stream in most 12 and 14 team leagues while Vooch is out.
Yeah, and even Javonte Green, who they've kind of been using into their, he's 6'4". So, right. I mean, you can't really do much with that. I'm with you on Alize Johnson being kind of an interesting, like, deeper league ad, speculative. It's still just tough to say. And these, you know, if you have Vucevic on your roster, unfortunately, that's just one of those situations where these guys, they're pretty much automatically out 10 days, and then you never know after that. It could be longer. So you basically have to be prepared to be without Vucevic for 2 weeks because he might come back in the middle of a week and you're not going to be able to start him and that whole thing. Right. So pick up Bradley or Alize Johnson probably. More news from the Central Division. Kelly Olynyk, Shannon's Pistons, Kelly Olynyk, is out at least 6 weeks after a grade 2 MCL sprain. He was returning 12th round value this season, which is roughly where he was being drafted. I mean, some people drafted him higher, but he was at least worth having for 4 game weeks. Obviously, we would all love if this meant Isaiah Stewart gets 30 minutes a game and is seeing a ton of usage, but I am worried that it will not be that simple.
I think it will be that simple. I believe Isaiah Stewart's going to easily get 30 minutes per game moving forward. I mean, the one of the main reasons why he wasn't seeing more playing time is just because Olynyk was very effective coming off the bench. And there were numerous games where, you know, soon Stewart would get in early foul trouble, which is still a concern moving forward. But Stewart would get in early foul trouble. The starting five just wasn't working well, whatever it may be. And Olynyk came in and was one of the more effective players for the Pistons. With Olynyk gone, I mean, they have to give the minutes to Stewart. The only other options are slide Trey Lyles up to the five, they will do. He will receive backup minutes at both the four and the five. And then Luka Garza. There's really no other options. Luka Garza, you know, they did recall him from the G League this morning. I expect him to be a very limited member of the rotation, at least from the jump. So, you know, we might see 5-6 minutes here or there. He had a couple games earlier this season where he played 5-7 minutes, 13 minutes one night. He didn't do a ton, and most of those games were blowouts, and he was just playing garbage time. He will get an opportunity, but it's going to be limited. I expect big bumps in Stewart's playing time, and then Trey Lyles will probably see more time off the bench as well.
I think you're exactly right. You know, I mean, and Olynyk is someone too who actually uses a decent amount of usage. So, like, some of that's going to flow, I think, to I think if you have Cade Cunningham or if you have Killian Hayes on your roster, I think they're going to see some increased usage. Jeremy Grant maybe has the opportunity for more rebounds, more usage. So I think if you have other Pistons players in general, you have to feel good. Isaiah Stewart's probably not on the waiver wire, but if you're in like a, I don't know, will he be on the wire in an 8-team league, 10-team league? Definitely take a look if you're in a shallow league.
Yeah, Isaiah Stewart definitely will be available in some of the shallower leagues. And, you know, if you were, you know, forced to hang on to him, if you're in those 8 or 10-team leagues and you kept him around, you're going to reap the benefits of that over the next 6 weeks while Olynyk's out. I also think that's going to benefit Sadiq Bey quite a bit.
Yeah.
He's continued to see plenty of minutes, but not as many shots. Not his usage has dipped since Cade came back. Basically since Cade has returned, it's been Cade and Grant are options 1A and 1B. And everyone else just kind of gets whatever's left over. With Olynyk's been one of the few guys though that, like, you know, he gets his 10 shots every game. He's open for 3-pointers. They're going to need someone else to do that. And Sadiq Bey has the skill set to stretch the floor. And I do think he's going to kind of revert back to what we saw the first 5-6 games of the season when he was chucking up 15 shots per game. That'll be the regular now with Olynyk gone.
Let's move on to some sell high candidates, some players that we have identified as guys who might be playing a bit above their heads. If you have them in your fantasy league, maybe try to float them to someone else, regardless of what your, you know, standing place in the standings is. Shannon, you kind of proposed this, so I'll let you kick things off.
Yeah, there's some internal discussion about selling high on Montrezl Harrell. And essentially I was asked, is Alexander Walker enough for Montrezl Harrell? And I said, no, I don't think it is. I'm targeting a guy like, now, Montrez has been a top 25 player so far this season. He's been outstanding, especially when Gafford was out. Obviously, Rui Hachimura's out.
Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, exactly. Thomas Bryant. So their front court, the Wizards front court, is depleted right now. Gafford's back, but they're still shorthanded. And really, Montrez has blown up. 18 points, 9 rebounds, 1.2 blocks. He's coming off the bench now, but he's still seeing big minute or big enough minutes for him. 26 in the past three. And he's still putting up stats. You know, he's been a guy who's always been able to put up decent lines, even in limited minutes. I think he's locked into that 25 to 27 minutes per game with Gafford healthy. Even after Bryant comes back or Hachimura comes back, I think they're going to continue to try to keep Harrell has a heavy part of the rotation off the bench. And I don't expect him to average 18 and 9 for the season. But that's something he's done in the past. I mean, with the Clippers, he averaged 18.6, 7.1 back during the 2019-2020 season. You know, it's 13.5 and 6.2 rebounds last year. I expect it to be somewhere in between maybe 15, 16 points, 7 rebounds, and that holds value in most leagues, but not top 25 value. And he's going to be hard pressed to be a top 25, top 30, top 40 player for the remainder of the season. He's a guy I definitely sell high on. The question is, how much do you want to get in return? How do you feel about Alexander Walker? Is that a good enough return for a guy who's performing at top 25 rate right now?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, hopefully you're in a league where people are like actually active in the trade market, but you have to kind of, this is also a good point to discuss like how to go about trades. You can kind of target other fantasy managers in your league. Hey, does this person need rebounds? Do they need field goal percentage? Are they in like last place or like third to last place and they feel desperate that they need to make a move? Is their starting center hurt? So you float them Montrezl Harrell and then you make multiple offers to people in those situations and you just shoot as high as possible and let people keep declining, decline, decline. They'll counter. You just start really high, like the Daryl Morey strategy. Like you got to ask for, I don't even know, like maybe Tyrese Halliburton. I have no idea how people like, if people think Montrezl Harrell is like going to average 18 and 9 all year, do they think he's going to decline? But I think your best guess or your best bet, trade for someone who is a very good fantasy player with numbers that do not look good. So sure. Tyrese Halliburton, Kyle Lowry, not even a bad option. He's had some bad games, but I think people who drafted Kyle Lowry are probably kind of in panic mode, but he's still ranked 55th right now in 8 cat leagues. And so again, it depends on your league structure, what you need, what the other person needs, but that would be my way of approaching it for almost any trade, not just Harrell.
Yeah. I like the Halliburton. I actually think that one is feasible, right? Like right. You've got a guy who's averaging 13.5 points per game. And while, you know, his per game value is actually third round value right now, but because it's 13.6 points per game, you know, 3.5 rebounds, 5 assists, people will look at it and not look at the entire package and what that really truly means. I mean, he's also hitting 1.3 three-pointers, 1.5 steals, 1.1 blocks with fantastic percentages for a guard. Halliburton would be a great target. You know, I mentioned CJ McCollum. It just depends on your categorical needs. You know, Lonzo Ball's another one. I'm assuming if you're trading Harrell, you're trading for positions of strength, meaning rebounds, field goal percentage. So I try to grab a guard who helps me in areas that I need. And I don't settle for like a Nikhil Alexander Walker. I aim for a guy who I think is going to be a top 70 player for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And keep in mind, like, certain players are more valuable to you than they are to other fantasy managers. If you need steals and threes, there are going to be certain guys like Andrew Wiggins, for example, who otherwise is like outside of the top 100. He's like 120 or 140, I think, off the top of my head. He's going to be more valuable to you than he is probably to the guy who has him on his team. If you're too heavy in rebounds or whatnot.
Absolutely.
Who are some other sell high candidates, Shannon?
Yeah, I'm just going to toss out the names now. We can discuss kind of what you would expect in return. These are three guys who, you know, along with Montrezl Harrell, I believe are good sell high candidates. Tyrese Maxey, Miles Bridges, Harrison Barnes. I like all three players for the remainder of this season. I'm not saying you have to get rid of them, but each is essentially valued at like a top 40, top 50 spot right now. And I think there's a good chance they fall out of that. I don't think they're going to continue to produce at the current level they're producing at for the remainder of the season, which in my opinion makes all three of them good sell high candidates. All right. So who would you need in return for a guy like Tyrese Maxey?
For Maxey, I will say I think Maxey might be the guy I would most consider a sell high candidate, just because Barnes and Bridges, actually their percentages are kind of realistic right now. They're both high volume guys. Maxey's at 51% shooting.
And, yeah,
you know, Ben Simmons situation. Not that I think he's necessarily going to play again, but Maxey's 58th right now per game value. I think you're within your means to ask for like a top 50, 60 player back. So, I mean, some guys in that list, I mean, maybe you get Jeremy Grant. It's not the sexiest name, but is he going to play worse than that? I mean, maybe do you ask for DeAndre Ayton? Maybe. I think maybe that's too big of a name. Person might not do it.
Yeah.
I don't think you could get Scottie Barnes for him. Nurkic, I think people would definitely consider that because Nurkic is kind of just averaging his 12 and 12.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the range or like the group of guys you should at least consider asking for.
You want to get crazy, you can go and if you have the flexibility and can withstand the 2 weeks without him, you can go offer him for like Vooch.
Mike Conley, maybe.
Vucevic was already down. I actually don't think I would trade Maxey for Mike Conley.
No.
But Jared Allen, Rashawn Holmes, Jaren Jackson Jr. is only shooting 39% right now. That's an obvious buy low candidate. There's tons of guys in that range, just depending on your categorical needs, that I would trade most of the guys who are ranked in that 50 to 60 range alongside Maxey. I would trade Maxey for most of them.
Yeah, those other two guys, Bridges and Barnes, unless you got a crazy offer, I think I would actually hold. I understand Bridges just kind of came out of nowhere, so people are like very skeptical, and I'm a little skeptical. Maybe his steals, for example, are a little too high. And sometimes, like, if you look at like two categories that will absolutely get you in trouble from a fantasy value perspective and thinking someone is better than they actually are like steals and free throw percentage, where, you know, if a guy goes on like a four game stretch where his steals normalize, or he gets like zero steals, or he's averaging like two steals a game, which is out of character for him, his fantasy value is going to go crazy. And so you have to kind of keep in mind stuff like that. I know Bridges is averaging 1.7. But those guys, they're taking a ton of shots, and especially, I know De'Aaron Fox is going to play better in Sacramento eventually, but they're like leaning on Harrison Barnes right now. So
they are. I will say I am more ready to sell high on Harrison Barnes than I am Miles Bridges. I would sell high on either one of them if I'm getting the right return. And really for either one of those players, I want like a player who I'm projecting to be a top 30 guy for the rest of the season. If I can get that in return for either one, I'll probably pull the trigger. But of those two, I'm more comfortable on anointing Miles Bridges the hold over Harrison Barnes.
Okay.
Now, you know, statistically they've been actually pretty similar so far this season, but at the same time, Miles Bridges putting up career numbers while only shooting 44% from the floor, 78% right from the line. I mean, he was an 87% shooter from the line last year, 50% from the floor. He's shooting more threes. That's a big reason why his field goal percentage has dipped. But those added three-pointer volume, that volume for three-pointers has absolutely increased his overall value. And really with Bridges, my question was, you had Plumlee coming in and you had PJ Washington, who was a fixture in the starting lineup last year for the Hornets. And I was worried. I thought, okay, they might take Bridges, might, you know, Oubre's also there, right? So you had two new incoming players who were going to likely impact Bridges or Washington's minutes. And it's mostly impacted Washington. Bridges has been the guy who's locked in. He has great chemistry with LaMelo Ball. I think he's going to remain this type of player for the rest of the season with upside for more because the shooting actually is down. The shooting percentages are down right now. You know, on the other side of it, Harrison Barnes, yes, he's been efficient the last couple of years, but he's shooting career highs in both second best field goal percentage of his career and the best free throw percentage of his career, hitting 2.6 three-pointers. I just 21.5 points for a guy who's never averaged 20 points before, you know, 8.6 rebounds for a guy who's never averaged 7 rebounds before, usually hovers around that 5 range. I just feel like these stats are somewhat inflated for Harrison Barnes. I do believe he's top 80 value for the rest of the season, but I expect him to regress some and probably finish the year with 17, 18 points and 6 or 7 rebounds per game.
I mean, for either of these guys, or especially Barnes, are you looking at guys like Chris Middleton, CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, if you can get them, or is that not the range of guys you're thinking about?
I don't know if I would trade Bridges for those names. Okay. Hearing that come out of my mouth sounds crazy, but I would absolutely trade Barnes for any of those names. So okay. Bridges is a guy who I actually think Bridges can legit be a top 30, top 40 player for the rest of the season. Those guys, all those names you mentioned are kind of in that 30 to 50 range. Yeah. It needs to be a bigger name for me to trade Bridges, but yes, all those other names, trading Barnes for any of them straight up, I would pull the trigger immediately.
I think part of the problem with trading a guy like Barnes is people just know that Harrison Barnes is not really this person. Like, well, the name recognition is so low. It's so much easier. Like, it's easy to trade Montrezl Harrell. People love Montrezl Harrell. They know who he is. Insane high energy guy. No one's ever actually watched Harrison Barnes play basketball and like enjoyed it. So that's part of the problem. But I agree with you. Those are all good guys to potentially sell high on, depending on what deal you can get.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's jump to our waiver wire section for the week. We talked about, you know, adding Tony Bradley. That's someone who's obviously available in 50% of leagues. He's probably available in 99% of leagues. So off the top of my head, I don't know if the Bulls are on a 4-game week. If they are, definitely add him and potentially add him anyway. My first real suggestion other than that is Alex Caruso, who is still under 50% rostered in Yahoo, and he's 27% rostered in ESPN. Caruso is currently ranked 68th in fantasy, and no reason he should be on the waiver wire when he's ranked 68th. And we're like 12 games into the season for most teams. 2.6 steals per game, seeing just under, I think, 30 minutes a game. You know, like, I mean, there is a chance with Vucevic out there, he sees even more minutes, but I think he's pretty locked into his workload, 25 to 30 minutes, even when Coby White comes back. He's a low usage guy, right? He's going to get you 8 points. He's going to get you 4 assists, 4 rebounds. He's going to get you those 2.5 steals. You have to have him on the roster. He'll hit 1-3. I know his numbers don't look good, but again, it's those steals guys like Caruso, Thybul, those guys always crush fantasy. Right. Absolutely no reason he should be on the waiver wire.
My only worry about Caruso is that his overall value is heavily inflated because of the steals right now. And right. He's had 2 4 steal games, 1 5 steal game, 1 6 steal game. I worry that once that normalizes and he stops having these monster steal games and he averages 1.5 steals per game, that's gonna hurt his overall value. He's definitely worth a stream right now. I just do worry that it's gonna hold up long term.
That's understandable. I think with the new foul rules, with the Bulls at kind of a career revitalization, I think they're just empowering him to go out and just make stuff happen defensively. Sure. 2.6. I would be surprised if he did lead the NBA in steals for the rest of the season. Let's say that. But I think you can probably still expect 2 steals per game out of him.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
My
first guy to target is Lu Dort. Yeah, Dort missed a couple games with the Thunder, but he's back now. In the past 2 games, he's averaging 34 minutes, 20 points, 1.5 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, shooting 48%. Yeah, you know, Dort's guy, he's getting the minutes. He's only owned in 37% of Yahoo leagues, 8% of ESPN leagues. I do worry about the percentages with Dort, but his stellar perimeter defense is going to keep him on the floor. This team really needs that. And every once in a while, he's going to catch fire and hit a bunch of three-pointers in a game. He's taken a ton of three-pointers. He's shooting 6.2 per game this year. But really, it's we haven't seen his capped upside yet. You know, he's basically averaging exactly what he averaged last season, but he's playing 3 more minutes per game. If he can just increase his efficiency a little bit, his 3-point shooting is down right now, only 23%. If he increases his efficiency a little bit, you're looking at a guy who's 16, 17 points per with 4 or 5 rebounds and 1.5 to 2 three-pointers per game.
He scored in double digits in 7 straight games. And, for the season is shooting 90% from the free throw line, which is a huge improvement for him, but it's on enough volume. Like he's taking 4 free throws a game to where it's like, this seems pretty legit. And then you have to think, well, if he's made this much of an improvement as a free throw shooter, the 3-point shot's going to come along soon. And he's going to start shooting, you know, closer to last season's mark of 34, 35, or even higher on a percentage.
Absolutely.
There. And then if that's the case, you're talking closer to 20 points a game than 15 points a game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really lined up for him. The minutes are there, and, you know, that was, I mean, heavier minutes than last season. It's just 35, 35, 34 in the past 3. It's encouraging, and if you can take the hit and field goal percentage, he's worth an immediate add in 10-team, most 10-team leagues, depending on how deep they are.
My long shot of the week, Daniel Theis. Not the sexiest name around, especially when everyone's so excited about Alperen Şengün and people are waiting for the Christian Wood breakout. But Theis, there'll be some games where he puts up 2 points, 6 rebounds, and then there'll be some games where he puts up 14 points, 10 rebounds, and averages out to like 8 points, 8 rebounds. And you just got to like ride the wave. You know, if you're in a 12-team league, He's only playable on 4-game weeks, like, for sure. If you're in a 14-team league, he still might only be playable in 4-game weeks, depending on your roster situation. But he's a consistent part of their rotation. They paid him a ton of money. He's just gonna average 8-8. That's just how it goes. And, you know, 24% roster in Yahoo, surprisingly 41% roster in ESPN. Don't know how that's happening. But he's out there if you need that rebound category.
Now, I've got a guy who just returned from injury, Dylan Brooks. He doesn't meet the qualifications on Yahoo. He is 65% owned on Yahoo, but even that number seems insanely low for Dylan Brooks. And he's 21% owned on ESPN. You know, he returned from his hand injury, played 26 minutes, scored 20 points, 4 3-pointers, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. He is sitting out tonight, but eventually he'll be back to his regular minutes, his regular starting spot, you know, not sitting out the second half of back-to-backs. And he's going to be worth owning in all 10 and 12 team leagues like he was the last 2 seasons. I'm not the biggest fan of Dylan Brooks, but it's hard to argue what he's done for the past 150 games. And he's a guy who goes out there, scores 16, 17 points per, hits a couple 3-pointers, and chips in enough elsewhere where it doesn't drain you. You know, the only negative really is field goal percentage is spotty, 41 and 42% the past couple of years. But he'll play 30 minutes, 29, 30 minutes for the Grizzlies and provide you with decent value. He's a guy who should be closer to like 80% owned.
Yeah, he ranked 126th per game last year. I would expect him to reach that mark again this year. And if that's the case, he's 12 team viable. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he's, you know, I think the question is are he and Desmond Bane, what's their shot distribution situation going to be? I know Bane only played 21 minutes or something in Brooks' debut. However, Bane was in foul trouble. He fouled out. So I don't know how much to read into that, but pick up Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, it's to be determined how it's going to factor. So I still believe that Bane is going to start at the 3 and Brooks is essentially going to take Melton's spot in the starting lineup. I firmly believe that. I know that's not how it really played out that is how the starting lineup was still Melton and Bane. But Bane was the one who was impacted the most minutes wise. But like you said, he fouled out of that game. He was in foul trouble. He was 1-for-10 from the floor, 0-for-7 from the line. Like, it just wasn't his night. I need to see more games before I'm cutting Bane, for instance. I need to see at least 1 or 2 more games with Brooks. Tonight's game's not going to help clarify anything with Brooks sitting. But I do think Melton's still the guy who takes the biggest hit with Brooks' return. And then Bane, to me, Bane and Kyle Anderson are the two that are tied together at the 3.
Yeah, Zaire Williams and Conchar are guys who could just completely disappear off the radar. Yes. Also. But yeah, Grizzlies play tonight. They also play Saturday. And Brooks should play Saturday, so we'll get some information.
And I've got one more player to throw out there. It's actually a pair of players, you know, with DeAndre Ayton out. Frank Kaminsky, you know, he's 22% owned on Yahoo, 4% owned on ESPN. Past 3 games, he's averaging 19-6, hitting over 1.3 3-pointers per game. Now he's an option. I also think Jay Crowder is a good option with Ayton out. You know, Jay Crowder's seen more minutes. He's over the just in the past 3 games, he's top 60 player. It's not exciting, but there's just overall production that equates to value. You know, basically like 10, 11 points, couple 3-pointers, some steals, some rebounds. Never exciting, but it's steady. And when a guy like Ayton's out, they do lean on Crowder more. I actually, if I had to pick between Kaminsky and Crowder, I'm picking up Crowder because there's more. He's more likely to have long-term value. It's not going to be great value. The ceiling's not going to be high, but you could at least keep him even after Ayton returns.
Yeah, Crowder only 25% rostered on Yahoo, ranked 118th this season in 8-cat. And he's shooting only 38% from the field, which is going to increase. So if you have if you have a bench spot that is just basically getting you zeros right now, pick up Crowder. 4 game weeks, he's playable, even if his stats don't look great on the surface. And like you mentioned, Shannon, someone who's just, he's established in the rotation, he's a veteran, you know exactly what you're getting with Jay Crowder. Let's move on to words from our sponsors. First, Yahoo. The NBA season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to go big on daily fantasy basketball this season. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contests now being shark-free. To celebrate Yahoo going big on DFS, as well as Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim a free $10 site credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 site credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. Yahoo will have daily NBA contests all season long. Play a single game contest of your choice throughout the week, then join Yahoo's weekly Friday main NBA contest to compete for large cash prizes. Play daily fantasy basketball on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/daily fantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started.
Live events are making a comeback, and there's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to get back into the action. So grab your NBA tickets and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Man, feels good to say. I'm really looking forward to the Pistons coming to Wisconsin. Get to go see my boys at the Pfizer. How do you say it? Pfizer?
Fiserv Forum.
Yeah, that place is great. I love checking out the Pistons every time they come. I'm going to get my tickets with Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats just launched a new and improved rewards program with free tickets for every fan, earn rewards, ticket upgrades, perks for just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to the game, your favorite artist, or the new show everyone's talking about, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live.
And when you're at the game, maybe you want some skin in the game, and that's where WynnBET comes in.
I like skin.
if there's one thing that we appreciate here at RotoWire, it is making good decisions. Last night, I made a good decision and picked Bam Adebayo's points, rebounds, and assists over, which I believe was at 39.5, and I believe he hit 41. Nice. Yeah. And even more so, we have to make the right decision, if I didn't say that already. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette. Double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at Baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 7 states, Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $1,000 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET, like the Wynn Casino. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. I will plug and say we do write a article using the WynnBET sportsbook every week on the sports betting page for NBA. Those usually run middle of the week. The one yesterday ran. Like I said, Adebayo pick hit. Let's jump into Friday DFS via FanDuel. 11 games slate today. The past few days of the NBA have been like 3 games, 12 games, 3 games, 12 games. A lot of injuries, as has been the case this season. But as far as questionable guys go and doubtful, Ayton is doubtful. But the questionable guys are Brandon Ingram, Draymond Green, Tyrese Halliburton, Norman Powell, Steven Adams, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and DeAndre Hunter. And there are, of course, more guys who are going to be ruled out throughout the day. Just keep an eye on the RotoWire lineups page. Keep an eye on the RotoWire news feed, and you'll get all the information that you'll need as far as that goes. Shang, is there anybody that just sticks out to you, or a game that sticks out to you kind of on first glance?
Oh, man. There are a couple.
Game's doubtful. I mean, is McGee or Kaminsky? I mean, those guys are on the slate.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys are definitely options. I do feel like there are some obvious discounts. And yeah. We're going to start with the Pistons. I know no one wants to. I get it. You're sick of me talking about it. But with Olynyk out, you have to go with Beef Stew. All right? You have to. He's $4,800. All right. Yeah. $4,800. He's basically a fantasy point per minute, or damn close. I mean, even if you just look at the past couple games, you know, 22 minutes against Brooklyn, he had 28 fantasy points. 14 minutes against the Rockets, he had 21 fantasy points. I really do believe he's locked into 30 minutes with the clinic out. And with 30 minutes, we should see 30 fantasy points, which is great value at $4,800.
I agree. I think it's a strong play. I think people are just going to be a little worried. They're going to see his recent stats. Maybe they don't know Olynyk's out. I don't think his roster percentage will be as high as it should be, especially, I mean, you can fit him into your lineup pretty easily. As far as some guys I'm looking at, I mentioned this in a tweet the other day or yesterday when Vucevic got ruled out. So I went into the stats of the Chicago Bulls without Vucevic on the court.
Yeah.
And there are some striking numbers with, like, especially the big three of Chicago. So with Vucevic off the court, this is per 36 minutes. LaVine's averaging 35 points, 7 rebounds, 4.5 assists on a 41% usage rate, which would be maybe the highest usage rate in NBA history. Like, it's stupid high. DeRozan's pretty much in the same exact boat, 34 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 38% usage. Lonzo Ball also averaging 21.1 points per 36 minutes. I will say LaVine has the lowest minute sample of all those guys. So his time on the court without Vucevic hasn't been that significant. They spend a lot of time on the court together. But I think playing any of those three guys is a good idea tonight. Yep. I think even playing all three of those guys and just hoping that those are the only guys on the court that do anything for the Chicago Bulls is a valid strategy. They are playing the Warriors tonight, which is a concern because the Warriors have the best defense in the NBA, or at least they did as of a few days ago. I don't know, man. I think the Bulls are the real deal. I think the usage is going to be there. Tony Bradley, obviously, too, an option. At the very least, very much consider putting Tony Bradley in your lineup. He is 4,400, which could easily be a steal.
4,400 eligible at both power forward and center, which is, it's nice to have that flexibility. The only Bull I currently have in my lineup is Lonzo. He's 5,800, which is already a discount. I mean, even if Vucevic was playing, I would probably have Lonzo in my starting lineup at 5,800. It's a great value. And, you know, I saw your tweet. I did see your tweet before I set this lineup last night. And that was one of the things I immediately checked the salaries on all the remaining Bulls. And Lonzo is an obvious play at 5,800. I think he's going to be highly owned, but it could be worth it.
I agree. And I mean, LaVine's only 8,400. DeRozan's pretty expensive at 8,700, but he's been worth that lately. It's not like that's not a crazy price for him, especially in a cash league or a 50-50 cash games. DeRozan's been a monster in that all season.
LaVine's a little bit cheaper on DraftKings, so I like him not a ton, but I think he's like 8,000. I like him a little bit more on that format, but any of the three are good. And like you mentioned Bradley as well, I think any of those four options are going to be solid plays tonight.
I'm kind of interested in this Detroit versus Cleveland matchup, like you mentioned earlier with Isaiah Stewart. I think you can almost play both sides of this big man situation. You know, I think the Pistons, I love Isaiah Stewart. He's great, but he's 6'8", 6'7". I think against Mobley, who's guarding Evan Mobley? I mean, I guess Jeremy Grant's going to try to guard Evan Mobley. Right. Jared Allen, I think you could play like almost all three of those guys. I don't know off the top of my head kind of like the correlation between Allen and Mobley having great fantasy games, but they're not really they don't really play the same position. Mobley's out there kind of he's passing a little bit. He's doing perimeter defense. I think their rebounding probably steals a little bit, but I think one of those guys, Mobley or Allen, is probably going to have a big night.
Yeah, and I think going with both of them is a legit option. I mean, with how depleted that team is right now, you know, especially in the front court, you've got Markkanen out, you've got Kevin Love out, and that's they've been forced to lean even more heavily on Mobley and Allen over the past few games. I mean, I think I'm going to confirm this, but I believe both are seeing just ridiculous playing time. Yeah, Mobley, a little bit deep. Yeah, Mobley has 40 minutes, 40 minutes, 38, 36, and then at 126 against the Wizards. But, you know, past five games, 36 minutes per. Allen's seen similar run, just heavy, heavy minutes. In those same five games, Allen is averaging 37 minutes per game. That's going to continue. You know, Markkanen and Love, I believe, are both going to be out again tonight. And with that, you just continue to ride both Allen and Mobley. I have Mobley in my lineup right now. He hasn't really jumped that much in salary, despite some big outings. I mean, he just had a 49 point fantasy outing earlier this week. He's still only 6,800. Allen has crept up some more. He's 77, but either one of them, I think, are good values at those prices.
I do think Mobley's the better value. 6,800 for a guy who has as good of a two-way skill set as him he has five games this season with at least 40 fantasy points. He'll get the 50 fantasy point game sooner than later. It's going to happen.
Yeah, he will. He hasn't had that many big rebounding games, right? I think only four games where he's reached double digits, a couple games where he's disappointed and just grabbed like four or five rebounds. But I do think there's going to be one of those big games where it's, you know, he scores 25, 26 points, grabs 12 boards, and produces on the defensive end.
You'll have a 20, 10, and 5 with three blocks game before you even know it. Anybody or any other matchups jumping out to you?
Yeah, there are a few other players. I'm still going heavy on the rookies. I like both Jalen Green and Cade. Green's at 5,100. He's coming off a big game, scored 23 points against the Pistons. He's a bit riskier, I feel, than a lot of the other rookies. His production's kind of fluctuated. Cade, I still think we haven't seen the best from Cade. He's played 30 minutes or more in three straight games, but still has a top 31 minutes. There's going to be a game where he plays 34, 35 minutes. He scored between 17 and 20 points in those three games. Two games, 34 and 36 fantasy points in two of those games. He hasn't put it all together yet. You know, there's going to be a game where he scores 25 points, similar to Mobley. He scores 25 points, has good rebounding, good assist numbers, contributes on the defensive end, and has that complete game. And at 5,700, I think he's got that base where it's a 30-point game is almost what I'm expecting from him, 30 fantasy points, and with upside for more.
He's taking 17 shots a game over the past four games, which is like the games where he's played real minutes. One of those games, he took 10 free throws. That was against Philadelphia. So, I mean, obviously, like, you look at the assist to turnover ratio, not great. Obviously, you mentioned the percentages, but, you know, first of all, DFS is a volume. You know, they don't really care about percentages. And Cade's just running the team. He runs a team. High usage guy who runs a team, high potential. He's due for a big game sooner than later. He's just one that you could just keep putting him. This is what I was saying about guys like Harden, when he was off to a slow start, or even Lillard to some extent. you can just put all of these guys who you know are going to start playing better into your lineup like every single day that they're on the slate, and eventually they're going to pop, and they, three of them might pop on the same day, and your chances of having the best lineup on any given day are really high when you have these high usage guys who are kind of underperforming. So I agree entirely with your Cade analysis.
Yeah, and I really think I missed last week's show, so I didn't get to talk about him. But I really think you just need to ignore those first couple games that he had. Those two games were essentially his preseason. He didn't play at all in the preseason. You're talking about a rookie. You know, what is he, 20-year-old, maybe 20? I'm not even sure if he's turned 20 yet. But he's a kid, never played an NBA game. Those first two games were rough. He's still going to have some struggles shooting occasionally. I mean, efficiency is a very normal thing for rookies to struggle with. But it's hard to argue with the results over the past three games. And once he kind of got those nerves, shook off the nerves, not just the nerves, but also the rust, because he hadn't played a basketball game since the summer league, essentially. Once that got off, we shook that off, he's been fantastic. And I don't think we've seen anywhere close to the peak for him this year. I think it's only going to get better.
I feel the same way about Jalen Green.
Yeah.
In theory, I think I actually like Cade more, but Green's a great GPP option just because he's not a guy who's like, he'll go for like 30 fantasy points and then 10. And then he's been kind of really all over the place. So not someone I would necessarily deploy in a cash lineup, but GPP is great. Both those guys, throw them in your backcourt. It may not be like amazing value per se, but I'm pretty interested in Jonas Valanciunas against the Nets.
Absolutely.
We all know that they don't have like a real center rotation. I think Valanciunas might actually kill LaMarcus Aldridge if he boxes him out hard enough. We might just snap in half. I'm worried about LaMarcus Aldridge tonight. I mean, Vucevic has been out of control, having like the best year of his career, averaging, he's put up 45 to 55 fantasy points like every single night. It's crazy. I just 8,600 is an easy play for him. He's only been under 35 fantasy points twice. So cash game, staple, Jonas Valanciunas, tons of upside for this specific game. Brooklyn's going to keep the pace high. Brandon Ingram may or may not come back. To me, does not matter. I don't care at all. If he comes back, I don't think he's going to play the full minutes. So I'm all in on Valanciunas tonight.
Anyone who's been around and listening to this podcast for numerous years that predate Alex, predates even DJ, all right? I'm talking about old school RotoWire NBA podcast. You guys know that we've been hyping Valanciunas's per minute production since the dude was a 20-year-old, all right? We've been saying if he ever plays 35 minutes a game, he's going to just explode. And he's finally getting that opportunity this year. You know, it took like 11 seasons, but he's now starting and playing 34 minutes per game. And this is what I always thought he would do. I'm not surprised at all. He is in my FanDuel lineup. One other guy from that game that I think is worth talking about is Nickeil Alexander-Walker. We discussed him a little bit earlier, but he's coming off an absolute monster game. 33 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, 2 steals. Good for 60 fantasy points on FanDuel. That was against the Thunder. Now we have him playing Brooklyn. He's $6,100. Ingram might come back. He's questioned. This sounds like the most positive Ingram update since he's been sidelined. He participated in 5-on-5 during Thursday's practice. That things are looking, Willie Green said that things are looking promising for a return soon. So I think there's a chance, there's at least a chance Ingram's going to come return to the lineup tonight. So is Alexander Walker, do you ignore that 60 point outburst and just avoid him tonight altogether, or is he still worth a look?
I wouldn't feel as good about it if Ingram comes back, but I mean, he's still a guy who's put up 30 plus fantasy points in 5 games this season. So his 6,100 price is obviously bumped up a little bit from that huge outing, but still someone who I think is been completely viable in both cash games and GPPs. I'm fine with the price tag if Ingram's out. If Ingram's in, it still could pay off. It could be contrarian, but there's just so many other options on this slate. I think if Ingram's in, I'd probably look elsewhere.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm sitting with it too. If Ingram's out, I like him at that price, and there's a good chance I'll plug him into my lineup. But there's been too much inconsistency. You know, you mentioned those 30 plus fantasy point outings he had, but he had four in a row to start the season. And then he went, you know, like 8 or 9 games without reaching 30 fantasy points. And then he blew up and had that 60 point outing. I'm surprised that he hasn't been more consistent. The minutes have been there. The opportunity's been there with Ingram out. But he just hasn't been as good as I expected. This just shows you the ceiling. I mean, it's pretty crazy that he can go out there and put up 60 fantasy points in one game. There's not many guys that are priced in the $5,000 to $6,000 range that actually have that in them, right? You know, most of the guys who can reach that type of ceiling are you know, $8,000, $9,000.
Yeah. There are obviously a ton of intriguing matchups. There are still some guys who are, I mean, they seem underpriced. I mean, you get LaMelo Ball for 8,800, Lillard's 8,500. Like, you can, we say this every time, but there's just an entire group of guys that are between that, like, $7,500 to $9,000 salary range that you can build a really high upside lineup with.
I have this weird, I don't know if I'll call it a fetish. Let's call it a fetish. This weird fetish of whenever the Ball brothers play together, I have to have two balls in my lineup. I don't know why, but I love doing it. It's just fun for whatever reason. Need a pair. Can't go with a solo.
I think we can probably end on that note. Without Ken, there's no old man rant.
I got a quote.
You have a quote. Okay.
Yeah, I got a quote. I mispronounce Alize. I was going to say it wrong again. I apologize. Everyone, I apologize. I'm not very knowledgeable. I don't know if this quote's real, but I found it with a quick Google search, so we're going to go with it. This comes from Shaquille O'Neal, former Phoenix Sun. You guys might remember him. I knew I was dog meat. Luckily, I'm the high-priced dog meat that everybody wants. I'm the good-quality dog meat. I'm the Elpo of the NBA. That might not be a real quote, but I found it on the internet.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Go.